Today, my focus is on dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. My time starts now. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been encouraged this morning? Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And I'd like us to read together from the Word of God and read out loud just two verses, so make it out loud. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. One, two, go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? Verse 14. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Make it louder. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Without faith, we can't be talking dominion. Because dominion is an indication that there is a fight. It's like when you say promotion. Promotion is an indication that there has been some kind of examination. Without examination, there is no promotion. Even if it's not an examination, as it were, it might be an assessment to assess what you have done, to assess the progress you have made, and then based on that, you are promoted. And so when you hear the word dominion, it goes to show that there has been some kind of fight and tussle in the background. And we have been called to a life of dominion. Dominion is our heritage in Christ. Dominion. Somebody say with me, dominion is my heritage in Christ. When you hear the word dominion, you think of the word victory. Victory. And when you hear victory, you know there is usually a fight before victory. Maybe you are some kind of Anthony Joshua and some other guys, you know, they box hard. They fight hard. Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, and you know, they fight hard and then they have the victory and then they are given the heavyweight champion belt. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul the apostle said to Timothy, his protege in the Lord, he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you have been called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. Faith is not a cheap talk. Faith is a fight. But then faith is a good fight. What is a good fight? A good fight is the fight you win. Somebody say, I win. Say, I win every time. Glory be to God. In a football match, if your club, Arsenal, plays against Chelsea, I mean, those are very popular clubs in the UK, and people watch them a whole lot. I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of Shooting Stars Football Club, Ibadan, Nigeria. I'm a Nigerian man, and I support local, anything local. Praise God. Amen. Now, if the match turns out to be Arsenal 1 and Chelsea 3. Now, some people are clapping right now, but some are shaking their head like, no, no. I could hear my son saying, Daddy, why? Why? Because it's Arsenal. Now, after such a football match, you say, up Gunners, they won't answer you. Because they can't even say up Gunners. Because that was a bad match. But to the Chelsea fans, it's like, up Blues. Glory be to God. For them, it's a good match because they won. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every time you win, it's a good one. Oh boy, okay, if it's Arsenal now versus Manchester United and it's 3-0, Arsenal 3, Manchester United 0, would that be a good match? So it depends on what side you are. And you know, when the football match is going on, there is usually a shouting side. When they put the first goal, boom, put the second goal. That's my boy, that's my boy, that's my boy. That, oh, mommy, oh, mommy, that's my boy, that's my. And then it's going against, boom, the third one. The shouting side is usually the winning side. The winning side. And we belong to the winning side. So we belong to the shouting side. And for the rest of our lives, we'll be shouting glory. I said we'll be shouting glory. Because God will take us from victory to victory, from dominion to dominion in the name of Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Faith is the fight. Don't run away. Stand your ground. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the promises of God. When sicknesses come against you, when diseases come against you, it is not time to bow out and bow down and cry and wail and mourn. It's time to rise up, child of God. Stand on the word of God and face the devil in the face and release the word of God. Release the weapons of your warfare, which are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds that are here. Things that tell you, no, no, you can't make it. Your grandmama died of this disease, it's your time. If grandmama died of it, this is not grandmama. I know Jesus. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is a new creature. Somebody say, I'm a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become, how many things have become new? Glory be to God. Dominion begins upstairs. Whether it's dominion over sickness and disease or over financial lack, over failure, over depression, over anxiety, over panic attacks, over the devil himself. It begins from here. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. How are you thinking this morning? The Bible tells us in Galatians 3, 13 and 14 that we read that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? The curse of breaking the law. We broke the law in Adam. Oh yeah, the law was not yet given when Adam was made, first of all. But God said to him, you eat this, you eat this, you eat this, you eat that. But of the tree, of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, this one you don't touch. That's an instruction from the Lord, and he broke it. And he was not even deceived. It was his wife that was deceived. He was there. The Bible says he wasn't deceived. And yet, he did it all the same. The moment he did it, God said to them, the day you eat of that, the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. Now, physically, they didn't die that day. So did God lie? Can God ever lie? I have too many scriptures to let you know that God cannot lie. He cannot and he does not. He doesn't and he cannot. So even if he tries to lie, his nature would betray him. The truth will come out of his mouth. Numbers 23, 19. God is not the man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. That he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. Did you see that in your Bible? 1 Samuel 15:29. Quick. 1 Samuel 15:29. Real quick. This is not where I'm going. This is just a detour. And also, this was Samuel speaking to Saul. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He will not. Can you see the word will not? Can you see the word will? Will is a modal auxiliary verb. It is used to express your ability or your capacity or your intention. God will not. I will come to your house. That's my intention. I will. But God will not lie. He will not. It is not his will to lie or to repent. Are you with me, church? Nor repent, for he is not a man. God is not a man. Don't mess with God. God is not a man. Don't mess with God. Don't play games with God. Don't toy with sin. God is not a man. Some people think God is a man. That's why they behave the way they do. The things of God don't matter to them. Go to Joshua 21:45. Joshua 21:45. Quick. Read, everybody. They have failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. How many came to pass? Everything God said to the house of Israel, he didn't lie, because everything he said came to pass. I pray for someone this season. Every promise of God that has ever been released over your life will come to pass. Amen. Shout a better amen. Amen. Go to 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. Quickly. Quickly, media, help me. You're going to make my work easier. 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. If it's not 8:56, then it's going to be 18:56. So get it right. So 8:56, yeah. 8:56. Let's read it together, everybody. Blessed be the Lord. Come on, read. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel according to how much that he promised. Somebody say, all. All that he promised. There had not failed how many? There had not failed how many? One word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God cannot lie. God does not lie. Hebrews 6:18. Quickly, real quick. Real quick. Hebrews 6:18. Let's read together, everybody. One to go. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So even if he wants to lie, it is impossible for him to lie. So we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. For by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Like a man cannot be pregnant. A normal man cannot be pregnant. Doesn't have the cervix, doesn't have the ovaries, doesn't have the fallopian tubes, doesn't have all of those things. No matter what they try to do and call them transgender, a man is not wired to carry a baby. Forget the fake you see on social media. In real life, you don't have a menstrual cycle. You are not configured to carry a baby. You don't have a womb as a man. You have a tummy. Pot belly for food. You don't have a womb to house another human life. That's why we must respect women. A woman carried God by the name Virgin Mary. She carried God in her womb, the seed of God. And she went to the market, and people didn't know. The baby in her tummy, in her womb, was God. God's own child. Imagine slapping that kind of lady. Ah! That man will not slap another woman again. Titus 1:2. Read everybody out loud this time. 1:2, go. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Which God that cannot lie. God will not lie. God cannot lie. Can I have an amen? Amen? So when the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of breaking the law, does the Bible mean that? Does God mean it? Have you been redeemed? We broke the law in Adam. We broke the law in Adam. When Adam fell, we all fell. Something died in Adam. When that thing died, it died in every man. It was the life of God that he carried, the Zoe that he had. He had that Zoe before the fall. I mean, he was the one naming every animal. Look at you, you're so big, and then you have a trunk, very long. Elephant. You're an elephant. Till today, the name is elephant. So you are very fierce and strong and bold and powerful, and you have some hair like you. You have a tiny, big head, tiny body. Lion. Lion. So why are you? Parrot. I mean, he had that power. Whatever he called them, the Bible says they still are till today. Genesis chapter 2. Can I have an amen to that? But what then happened to the same man after the fall? I hope nobody's on their phone messing around. I hope everybody's listening to me, because this can transform your life. After the fall, everything Adam was in charge of turned around and turned against him. For the first time ever, a dog saw Adam and barked at him. It never happened before. Adam was the small letter G God of the earth at the time. God made him like that. The child of a lion is a lion. How about the child of the Most High God? Small God. He was in charge. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But everything turned around. For the first time, his body began to know sickness. His body was not designed to be sick. That's why till today, if you go close to medical people, they'll tell you that the human body is actually designed to heal itself. That's the mystery of creation. Every other thing God created is clothed from within them. Like they grow hair, long hair, fur or feathers to cover them. How about man? Man was covered in glory. The glory covered Adam. The glory covered Eve. That was why immediately after the fall, what was the first thing they discovered? Woo! We're naked. And what did they do? They went to sew fig leaves. Fig leaf suit would be very nice, you know. I don't know how nice that would be. Fig leaves. Imagine us wearing leaves to church this morning. God said, dumb you, killed an animal, took the skin of that animal, used that to cover them. Initiated the first covenant by blood. They were covered in glory. So those comedians, very stupid comedians, who make jokes and say, why did God even allow us to be wearing clothes? If it was like before the fall, you know, Adam and Eve would have been seeing one another. Who told you that? They were covered in glory. So much glory that even the angels had to speak in Psalm 8 and from verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? Put it on the screen for me, please. What is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? Next verse, next verse, next verse. What is man? Thou hast made him a little lower than, not the angels, than the Elohim. A little lower than the Elohim himself. And you have crowned him with what? Shout it with what? Man was covered with glory and honor. Inside honor, outside glory. That was what covered him. He looked like God. And so they had to ask, what is man? And we knew when you were putting sand together and you released life into him, but now he looks like God. That was the state of man before the fall. And that's, young people, listen, that's to tell you how terrible sin is. Please, I beg you, stop toying with sin. I'm 19. This is the time of my life to enjoy myself and discover who I am by sleeping around, by going clubbing. These things don't give you life. They suck life from you. A time is coming, your body will abhor them. A time is coming, your body will tell all of the things that you've been using it for because it wasn't designed for sin. The body, Paul warned to the Corinthian church, he said the body is not for fornication. The body is for the Lord. It's not for fornication. If you subject your body to fornication, it will tell over time. But if that's your condition today, there is hope for you in Christ. For if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things have passed away and all things have become new. This is how sicknesses and diseases show up. HIV/AIDS was first discovered in 1986 in California among homosexuals. You see, when they left the use of the, when man left the use of the woman and man began to collaborate with man, a strange disease showed up. Every kind of sexual pervert that you know, they always wind up with some kind of strange disease. It is the device of the devil. He will deceive you and he will tell you you will enjoy it. And truthfully, your body will enjoy it. But you know what sin is like? Sin is like the credit card system. You use now. You buy now, you enjoy now, but you pay later. That's my simplest definition of sin. When you see some of your family members live in America and other countries, and you say, man, that guy has made it. The guy don't harm. If you see the latest 2024 Mercedes-Benz GLE that is driving or more, you too can. Go there, get a job. You can buy a car. They'll give you a car note. Buy now, drive now, enjoy now. But I tell you, you begin to pay later. You can pay for that car for 3 years, 5 years. People pay for their homes for 30 years, mortgage. In Nigeria, we don't have that system. You have your money, you build. You're not paying rent to anybody. Can I have an amen? But over there, you pay over time. That's the way sin looks like. Enjoy it now, but you pay later. That's why you have to work, 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 work. If service is 9 to 11 and the pastor is in the spirit, and is extending it like Pastor Fred to 11:30, half of his church members will be gone because they need to go to work. Because if they don't go to work and they lose their job, they lose their home, lose their car, lose everything. So is pastor going to feed and house them? So we broke the law in Adam. When Adam fell, we fell. But that's not the end of the story. The second Adam came. His name is Jesus. I said the second Adam came. And is the last Adam. Glory be to God. Everything we lost in the first Adam, Jesus has brought to us. Jesus has brought heaven down. Jesus has brought us life. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, I am come, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on, say, I have life. He that has the Son of God has life. 1 John 5:12. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Do you have Jesus? Then you have life. Do you have Jesus? If the answer is no, sir, you don't have life yet. Yeah, I know you have money. More money than me. We are not in a competition. You have property. Thank God for your life. You have connections, but you don't have Jesus. You don't have life. You're miserable. You're a disaster, walking on two legs, going somewhere to happen. I want to encourage you today, by the time I make the altar call, find your way here so that you can receive life. In him is life. He that has the Son of God has life. Oh, I don't care whether you have money or you don't have money. If you have Jesus, you have life. He is the very definition of life. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one standing between the two edges, declaring the end of one and the beginning of the other. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Life takes definition in him. Life finds expression in Jesus. He is the light that shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Do you have Jesus? If you have him this morning, you are the one who has dominion over sickness and disease. You already have the dominion. Why has he redeemed us from the curse of breaking the law? So that he may hand us the blessing. He has redeemed us from the curse of breaking the law. It was made a curse in our place. That's what King James says, curse for us. Jesus is not cursed to us. He was cursed for us. Curse in our place. All the curse of breaking the law that came upon Adam, that should have come upon us, if you switch into Christ and you allow him come into you, you don't have that curse anymore. But let me show you a picture of the curse of the law. You want to have an idea of the curse of the law? Nobody wants to have an idea. Let me go on. Okay, three people want to have an idea. Do you want to have an idea what it means, the curse of the law? I'm going to show you Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I told my son when he was much younger, maybe 5-6 years old, about the blessing and about the curse of the law. And I told him a story I heard of a little boy who was traveling with his family. He had been trained in the household of faith. This was in America. So they had a layover. When they had the layover, you know, when you're going on a long journey, you can have a stopover or a layover. The place was smelling. They went to a place to relax, but the place was smelling, and it was smelling real bad. The boy said, he said to his daddy, Daddy, it smells in there like the curse of the law. Because the curse of the law smells. Oh, may you never come under the curse of the law. Let me show you what the curse of the law is. I can summarize it into three, but I want you to have an idea. And this is one part of the Bible we don't read. We skip it. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14 is a summary and a compendium of the blessing, the blessing of the Lord. But take it from verse 15. All the way. Look at me, everybody. This is verse 1 to 14. This is the blessing. 1 to 14. But take it from here, from verse 15, all the way to verse 68. If I went the expression house now, they would say, wow. Okay, am I really in the expression house? If I were really in the expression, they'd say, wow. If I went the Potter's Planet, they'd say, wow. I'm in the Potter's Planet. Thank you, Potter's Planet. I love you. Imagine the blessing, verse 1 to 14. Biri. Mankele. 1 to 14. Powerful enough to sustain you through life and carry you to eternity. But look at the curse from verse 15 all the way. 14 times 2 will give us 28. 14 times 3 will give us 42. 14 times 4 will give us what? 4 times 4 is 16. Come on now. 56. 4 times 4, is it not 16? Has it changed in Nigeria? Subsidy. So if we do 14 times 4, we'll be getting 56. This one is up to verse 68. So it surpasses 14 times 4. The curse of the law. The curse of breaking the law. From verse 15, all the way. You know that song? All the way, all the way, all the way to 68. Let me show you just a few of them. We don't have time for all of them. Just a few of them. Now, let me read verses 1 and 2, then I move on to verse 15. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Say amen. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Say amen. Amen. These are even introductions. The real blessing. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Amen. Amen. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. Amen. Amen. Now go to verse 14 where it stops. Even that one is a conclusion. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them, is really not a blessing. It's just the conclusion. Now, verse 15. But it shall come to pass. It says, but. But is a conjunction that introduces a change of direction. He's a very nice man, but. When he gets angry like this, but is not a very good thing. It shows a change of direction. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You don't even want the introduction. If somebody says, now, what I'm about to say now, listen, if you don't listen, all the curses shall come upon you, will you say amen? He has not cursed, but he's saying all these curses will come. Now, they won't just come upon thee. He said they will overtake thee. Bad enough for a curse to come upon the person. Now, worse to overtake. The curse is going in the front. The person is coming behind. It means it is the curse that will be dictating the pace at which you travel. Have you ever been overtaken by a trailer, a truck, carrying bags of cement, and the road is narrow? You cannot overtake. A journey that will take you 30 minutes can take you 3 hours because there is no way to overtake. You can honk all you like. You can scream all you like. Get out! Get out! Get out! The guy can't even hear you. He's playing his music. He's going to the north. Imagine the curse slowing people down. The curse actually slows people down. And everyone that has been slowed down by the curse, today I decree an emancipation for you. Acceleration will come upon your life in the name of Jesus. Let's listen to a few of the curses, but now listen to me. This is how to read it. I want you to get home and read this, but this is how you will read it. People skip it, they don't like to read it, but it's good to read it. But I'll teach you how to read it. Now it says, cursed, don't say amen. Cursed. cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Now, you will say this. Wow. This is what God has delivered me from. Amen? It will bring an excitement. Wow! Christ has redeemed me from this. So, that means I will never be cursed in the city. One person came to church. That means you will never be cursed in the field. Why? Because Christ has redeemed you from being cursed in the city and in the field. Did you get what I said this morning? Go to the next verse. This is how to read it. It says, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now, that was an agrarian community. When the Bible was written, they were pretty much agriculture people. They were farmers. They were into agriculture. They were an agrarian community. All right? So they stored their farm produce in baskets and stores. Today, when you work, do they pay your salary into a basket? Where does your salary go? Into your account. If you're a business person and they want to pay for your business, your services, where does your money go? Into your account. So this is your account. So he says, cursed shall be your account and your, wherever you store stuff, maybe your domiciliary account, your savings account, salary account, and your domiciliary account. Is it cursed shall it be? Now, you will say, wow, this is another thing that Christ has redeemed me from. Glory be to God. Say with me, say, I've discovered again what Christ has redeemed me from. So what does that now mean to you? It now means that blessed shall be my account. Blessed shall be all my accounts. I have savings, I have current, I have dom. My domiciliary account, I have pounds, I have US dollars, I have card account for making transactions. And I'm thinking of opening euro. You know why I did all of that? Because I am thinking, and I know my business will go international. Besides that, my ministry will go international, and people are really going to bless me. I don't want an impediment of, I don't know how to send you money now because there's no way to send Naira. Don't send Naira. Send the USD. Amen. This is how you should be thinking. Those of you that have businesses, open. It won't cost you much. Open USD account. Open pounds account. It's not that for 1 month somebody is thinking about to send you money. He will send it to someone else. May your money not go to someone else. People don't have patience like that now. Even you, do you have that kind of patience? Talk to me now. Go to the next verse. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Hey, and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. You say, thank God, I've also been redeemed from this. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's read the next verse together. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Say what? Thank God, I've been redeemed from this also. Next verse. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Thank God, I've been redeemed from this also. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Now, this is not for lazy people. This is for people that are committed. And I want you to be committed to your life. Don't keep malice with your Bible. This scripture I've given you, I can stop preaching here. Take this scripture home. Sit down with it. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15. And begin to read them one by one. And try to understand them with the help of the Holy Spirit. In fact, don't try. Understand them by the help of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen. And say to yourself, thank God. Wow. I've been redeemed from this also. One of the verses say that you will labor, but another person will enjoy the fruit of your labor. You know what to say? What are you going to say? So it means when I labor, God blesses my labor, and I will enjoy the fruit of my labor. Can I have an amen? Amen. One of the verses says that you have children, and that's for parents, and that's for you children. You can begin to pray. I prayed for my children before I ever saw them, before I ever got married. As a single person in this hall, I will put my hands on my loins and say, the children in my loins are blessed. So when he came, one of the names I gave him is Blessed. And when the sister came, like, one of the names I gave her is Prosper. Amen? He says you will have children and you will not enjoy them. Your sons and your daughters, hey, thank God I've been redeemed from this also. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Don't be cold on me. One of the verses says that all the sicknesses and all the diseases, they are too many. But you need to sit down. Now, let me look for that for you. Kai. Before I go to that, there's this one. Very, very terrible. Verse 48. All of them are terrible. Verse 48. Can you see? It smells. The curse of the law. Really? You can't be like this and not smell. Sicknesses and diseases make people smell. Doctors, nurses, how do the hospitals smell? Very nice. Can you eat on the ward? The curse of the law smells. But thank God you have been redeemed from it. Look at verse 48. He said, therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies? May you not serve your enemy. Amen. Your friends gone, may you not serve them. Amen. You can work together, you can be partners and rise together, but to be subservient, no. Because it says you shall be the head and not the tail. In this same chapter, part of the blessing, verses 1 to 14, one of them says, you shall be the head and not the tail. The reverse is because you shall be the tail and not the head. In this one says, and you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger. Nigerians understand hunger now. In hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, not having good clothes to wear, nakedness. And then those of you that like to send nude pictures, stupid. You see, it's under the curse. In nakedness, ladies go to a party now, they wear nets, all nets, pant and bra. And you see, they don't care. All net. Nakedness is under the curse of the law. Can you see that? Only one person said yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Say it the way we say it in the expression house.
Yes, sir.
Say it the way we say it in the expression house.
Sir,
yes, sir. Did you see nakedness under the curse of the law?
Sir, yes, sir.
In hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. Manisha lying, you. You will never lack in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, and in want of all, how many things? Want of school fees, want of clothing, want of food to eat, want of handouts, want of textbooks, want of accommodation. And a want of all things. Want of love. Nobody to love you. And he shall put a yoke of iron, a jagairi, upon thy neck. Kai. No wonder the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27 that on that day his burden shall be taken off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What is the anointing? Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing. That's the meaning of the word Christ. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Are you getting the connection?
Yes,
and put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. What do you say? Thank God I've been redeemed from this also. If Christ had not come to redeem us, would have been born slaves and would have lived all our lives as slaves. But today, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Why? I am a child of God. That's why if you're not born again, the smartest thing to do, listen up, is to run out here and give your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter how much money your father has. Satan doesn't care. The weight of what you think you have in your family, it will make a mess of the entire family. He's a bad devil. Your money does not intimidate him. Your father's education does not intimidate him. If you like, all of you will be professors in your family. Grandpa professor, father professor, you now, you are becoming a professor. The devil doesn't have respect for such things. The only respect he has is to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Kai! If he sees Christ in you, you become untouchable for him. The smartest decision in your life is to surrender to Jesus. I say, Jesus, come into my life. That's when dominion starts. Because he will now begin to help you think different. I began to think differently when I met Christ. In fact, I began to think different when I read that scripture, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. In Mokola, in my boxer shorts, on my bed, my parents' bed, the metallic kind of bed they brought from the north with springs. And I was feasting on Galatians 3, 13 and 14 that day. And the Holy Ghost turned on the light. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, listen church, can be summarized into three categories. If you're writing right. Number one, spiritual death and early physical death. Spiritual death and early physical death. When people die young. Now, spiritual death is for you to be cut off from the Lord. You have no communion with God. You sin, and sin is a lifestyle. You don't even feel anything. You say it's normal. Normal because you have been alienated from God. You are an alien to the promise of the covenant, to the covenant of promise, rather. Early physical death, you know the meaning of that. A young person dies at 19, 29, 39, 49, 59, see, even 69. You're too young. Are you with me? That's the first leg of the curse. The second leg of the curse is sickness and disease. Sickness and disease. That's the second fold of the curse of the law. Sickness and disease. Sickness and disease. You know that if sickness and disease are not arrested, what will happen eventually to the person? Come and talk to me, church. The person will die. They will say, oh, this cancer has gone from stage 1 to stage 2. And then it has gone from stage 2 to stage 3. And then from stage 3 to stage 4, terminal stage, and then boom. Unless the power of God comes upon the sin to reverse it, it will surely lead to death. That's why they call certain sicknesses and diseases terminal. Because the moment the diagnosis, oh no, this is terminal, the person is going to die. In fact, headache, what we call ordinary headache, kills people. Doctors understand better. There might be aneurysm. It might be that a nerve has burst in the brain as a result of high blood pressure. But the person will just say, oh, headache. And they'll be pouring water. And the person said, water on the head cannot get into the brain to do the repair. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's no sickness that cannot kill a person. And there's no sickness that a child of God cannot overcome. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not, do you know what I mean, perish? Sickness and disease is perishing instrumentally. When somebody is perishing instrumentally, that's the meaning of sickness. And disease. Whatever takes away your ease. It can be a disease of the mind, depression, insomnia, you can't sleep. I was there for almost 6 months, if not more. I lost my peace. I lost my sleep. Insomnia is a terrible enemy. I hate it with every passion in me. When anybody tells me they can't sleep, I pray for them aggressively because I've been there. I'll be on my bed and I'll be rubbing my legs together. Rubbing my legs because I couldn't sleep all night. I knew when the dogs barked. I knew when the security men were patrolling on my estate. I knew when the birds were making their special numbers. If anything dropped in any flat in my house, I live in a house of 4 flats, I knew. I heard it. I knew when people did their morning devotion. I was awake all night. There were nights I prayed. There was a particular night I'll not forget. I got into Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm. I read the whole of it. I thought by the time I read into the middle of it, I would fall asleep. I read the whole of it. My eyes were still wide open. I prayed in the Holy Ghost 2 hours. Nothing. There was a night I went to the shower. 5 times. I went to the shower, turned on cold water, had a cold bath, went to my bed. I didn't sleep 1 hour. For 1 hour, I couldn't sleep. That night was the worst of all my nights. I didn't sleep at all. I had 4 episodes of total, complete insomnia. Other nights, I had 2 hours of sleep. If I went to bed at 9, by 11 p.m., I'm not telling you a story they told me. I'm telling you my story last year. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. Who are you to argue with me? You don't know what I've been through. So if I preach passionately like this, you better listen to me. I see people suffering under the wickedness of Satan, but yet you will never see them in church. I say, come to Bible study. It is those people that will not come to Bible study. We are having prayer every Monday, 3 to 5. Never see them. There is encounter night also, 5:30 to 7:30 every Friday. These are the opportunities to pray away the jagbajantis in your life. Jagbajantis. Insomnia is a jagbajantis. You can't find that in the dictionary. Apologies to my North American listeners. Jagbajantis is rubbish. I went back to my bathroom. I have a heater, water heater. I turned it on, hot water. I had a hot bath. Went back to the bedroom, no sleep. After 1 hour again of no sleep, I went back to the bathroom. I used the 2 knobs to mix the water coming from the shower to make it warm, lukewarm, no sleep. I tried again 2 more times, no sleep. I remember somebody told me, go and take hot chocolate, but make it cold. Cold chocolate. So I had chocolate in the freezer, brought it out, Milo. I broke ice blocks, put in it. It was very cold. Ice block was inside the Milo. I drank it. I didn't mix it with anything but water, just water. Nothing. Someone said, go and try, is it Puritan? Oh, Lord, have mercy. One night, one of my girls, she's in London with her husband now. They were members of this church. They went from here to the UK, married. They were a married couple in the Expression House. They refused to go to the other church because the girl, Kemi, she said, Pastor Fred is my father. You're my father in the Lord. You don't know what God has used you for in my life. So I said, our testimony is for another day. Kemi called from London and said, Pastor, there is this pill that my mom uses. Oh, why am I sure about working in this thing? It's like a supplement. They said that thing, just break half. Half, oh! Pastor, please, half, oh! Because it will knock you off. That their mom used to suffer insomnia, and if she took that, she would just sleep off. And this and that. Testimonies upon testimony of that pill. So I went to a pharmacy on my estate. I asked the woman, she said, hey, okay, we're meeting too, oh. I bought it. I broke it into half. Used as prescribed by Kemi, my girl. After 1 hour, I didn't yawn. I didn't even yawn. Anytime I yawned, I was always happy because it means that sleep was coming. But this one, I didn't even yawn. I said, hey. I went back to the other half. I swallow. If I lie, let me sleep till tomorrow afternoon. My wife at least knows that I'm taking something. Beloved people of God. Now like this, I sit down. TDB. I heard when the cockroach. You see how I do it? I do it well. Because I spend time listening to those guys. How many of you can do it like this? Man, I suffered under the heavy weight of insomnia. But guess what? I knew that Christ had redeemed me from it. And it was not normal. And it should not be happening. And that thing did not break until I got angry in my spirit and I began to attack it. You attack your attacker.
There's a time to be aggressive in your faith.
No time to be gentlemanly. They say, praise the Ambroste, Heleste, Oshtereste, oh, Loria Buhara. Ah, Kodojue. When you see me praying like someone from another realm, you should understand where I'm coming from.
Gaba, Kuta, Yalobarika, Gusatiata.
You pray and you break sweat. You must break some sweat. What kind of useless prayer are you praying? You don't break sweat. Fustu fe helestu fustu. Fustu. Or fustu kalele yo. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will go to the bedroom, my wife, sleeping. I'll go to my children's room, Trenoluwa, sleeping. The sister says, oh God, will I wake them up? I can't wake them up. Leave them. Only me, not sleeping. I became the watch night man of my house. But I remembered that the Bible says in Psalm 121 that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So me that I'm the kept, I should slumber and sleep. The two of us should not be staying awake at the same time. Ah, these were scriptures I put together, meditated on. I had preached them for many years. I hope you know I've been a preacher for at least over 10 years. This is just going to be 15 years now. And I'll be here from day one. Preaching it is different from practicing it. That's why I don't listen to motivational speakers. They tell you one and one ways to become a multi-billionaire. They have never started one business in their life. You want to sell medicine to an Hausa man. Pastor understands Hausa language. They said, the Hausa man will ask you, this thing that is doing me, has it done you before? Pardon my English. Shoshieri. I want practical experience. Don't tell me if you use it, the vitamin A will not break down into riboflavin. Riboflavin will not go into the blood vessel. I don't want to hear that. Has it done do you before? Let me ask your neighbor, say, do you before? Someone say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So many curses, so many of them. Let me look for another one. Maybe just one more. There's one that says, and all the sicknesses, that's where I want to stop, and all the diseases that are not even written in this book of the law. Yes, verse 59, 60, 61. Let's take the three together. 59, 60, 61. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Can a plague be wonderful? For you to understand that, you need to read it in maybe NIV or Amplified Classic. But don't worry about that. There's no time. Oh, my God. My time is up. Somebody did some fast one on me. I can't believe that. I just started preaching like 25 minutes ago. And the plagues of thy seed. Can you see? Is now becoming generational. That's why you see that in some families. In fact, usually, when you go to the hospital and you have a disease or a sickness or something, they'll say, have you got a history? What's your family history? Because these things have the tendency to go from generation to generation. That's me. You didn't know the advert? Okay, David knows it. Now, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, like diabetes. You have a sore from diabetes, it doesn't heal. It's of long continuance. Like the man who was paralyzed for 38 years by the pool Bethesda. You see, when a sickness is becoming long, a disease is becoming long, the spirit of infirmity enters, makes it very long. Ordinary wound, if you don't take charge of it, take care of it, and decree the word of God, can be of long continuance. Then the person will be going to the hospital for dressing, until becomes a VIP in the hospital. Oh, that lady for dressing. May that never be your portion. If anyone is suffering from anything of long continuance under the influence of my voice this morning, he dies now in the name of Jesus. Of long continuance. And sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, it will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written or written in the book of this law, them will the law bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Say, thank God I'll be redeemed from that also. I was telling you the threefold cord of the curse. The first leg, what did I call it? Spiritual death and early physical death. Second leg, sickness and disease. The third leg, poverty and lack. Poverty and lack is a manifestation of the curse. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no member of our churches, Potter's Planet, Expression House, Adult Church, Satellite Church, will remain poor. Amen. Everyone poor now, from this service, God is turning around your story. Amen. It's not nice when you can't pay your bills. Are you with me? Everyone is giving attestation to what I'm preaching. Glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. I will show you one of the scriptures on poverty and lack. But on this one, look at the last verse that we read there. It's not the last verse, but the last one we read. I said, leave it on the screen. Leave it on the screen. And also every sickness and every disease, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law. Ebola is not written in the book of this law. Has it not come? COVID-19 is not written in the book of this book of law. But is it not there? Has it not come to the world? Because the word will never be a cake. This was written several thousands of years ago. Thousands of years. Now it is happening. Because it's been written that there will be diseases and sicknesses not written in the law, but they will still come. We don't know what is coming in 2025. But we know who holds 2025. We may not know what 2025 holds, but we know him that holds 2025. We know the owner of 2038. We know the owner of 2100. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. In COVID, I said, I will never have COVID. I can never have it. I said, oh, no. Pastor, don't talk like that. Oh, anybody can just catch COVID. I said, impossible. Impossible. Because I know the root of sickness and disease. It is more spiritual than physical. I understand the medical part of it, but I understand the spiritual part of it also. We held services here until they said, no more service, let's do online. Even online, my entire media crew came. And we're broadcasting live. And when church resumed, we kept coming. One man was online in the UK, a brother to one of my protocol officers, Michaela, that's the girl's name, a student of UI then, a graduate now, from Kaduna. She came from Kaduna. Her elder brother lives in the UK with the family. He had COVID. It was a communion service like this. He joined us. I didn't know who was online. Same power of God in this house touched him. And I said, if you're watching online, you have biscuit or whatever you can get something, sanctify it. Juice and biscuit or cookies, whatever, or bread, sanctify it. Take communion with us. He took it immediately after. He said, my wife, bring me the kit. They brought him the kit, and he tested himself, and he tested negative. Someone who had been quarantined. The same power of God delivers everywhere at every time. But do you believe? Faith activates dominion. Dominion can lie dormant in you, and people die with dominion, and the devil has a field day on their lives because they chose not to activate faith. Activate your dominion by faith. By faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Why did I say I would never have COVID? I saw 1 Peter 1:23. Quickly. 1 Peter 1. Read it, everybody. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth for 2 years. The word of God is living, breathing, active. Speak it over your life. Living, breathing, active. There's no country I go to in the world that I will ever be stranded. Whether at the airport, whether on the road, whether in the mall. I have seen strange help and strange helpers because I've decreed the word of God. Psalm 5 verse 12. But thou, Lord, will bless me, the righteous. You will surround me with favor as with a shield. Favor, every part of the word. Favor, 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 favor. From the word of God. You are doing yourself a disservice by not getting into this word daily, daily. Make this your daily bread before breakfast. Bible before bread. Eat bread, but Bible first. Be before be. Feed your spirit before you feed your stomach. Oh, Pastor, I have 7 a.m. lectures. Wake up at 5. You won't die. Mark 1:35, Jesus rose up a great while before day, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. Pray and get into the word. There are things I can do for you. There are things you will need to do for yourself. I have preached this morning, and I'm going to stop. Take it off from there. Don't watch your destiny spiral out of control. No, never. I am not limited in my own, in my mindset by my background. I was born, I've told you about Smokola where I was born. So you know my story. I don't have a PhD yet. I don't have an MSc yet. It's not one big degree I have. But I'm never limited in my scope of operation. If I show you my phone, the number of professors that are my clients, it will shock you. Honorable justices that are my clients. One woman walked up to me and said, you are now the toast of judges in Oyo State. All their major events. I said, it's God. To the point of the chief justice of Oyo State, the current one. God. 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 Mokola boy like me. Mokola boy. When I'm flowing with NBA, Nigerian Bar Association, you think I'm a lawyer. I'm not. God. God, the word of God works in every area of your life, including your mindset. It will make you what your parents cannot make you. You become a trailblazer in your generation. Say, nobody has ever done this before in our family. You'll be the first to do it. Commit. Commit. Commit to the word. Commit. Daily commitment. Daily commitment. Reduce your time on TikTok. I'm not saying don't do TikTok. Reduce it. Add that time to the word. Every Sunday, I hardly finish my message. Because there's a whole lot to unleash on you until your life turns around 360 degrees. And people will look at you and say, is this Laolu? Say, yes, I'm the one. Say, wow, please, cut small soap for me. You say, it is not soap, it's Jesus. Can I have an amen? Give me that 1 Peter 1:23. That's my closing. Let the ushers get the communion elements ready. I want to see if I can help you with this. Being born again, not of corruptible. Not of corruptible seed. How did I get born again? I heard the word of God preached. I believe the word preached. It became a seed sown into my spirit. It transformed me from inside out. Listen to me. But the word of God does not only work in your spirit. It also works on your flesh. As you are looking at PFE like this, this skin, this flesh, bone, blood, veins, is redeemed. Redeemed. Not of corruptible seed. So, it is not corruptible. It is the seed that transformed me, that redeemed me, which is the word of God, is incorruptible. COVID-19 is corruption. So when corruption, if corruption comes in contact with me, because the seed working inside me is incorruptible, that COVID will die. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how to think. Have you heard of the man John G. Lake? John G. Lake went to South Africa and was doing missionary work. He was an insurance practitioner, but became born again, was on fire for God. Listen to me very carefully as we close. When he was in South Africa, a plague broke out called the bubonic plague. Just like Ebola, the bubonic plague. People were dying in their hundreds. They were burying, churches were closing down because they were burying people every day, mass burial. Kai, John G. Lake said, no. He had this revelation of Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He went to the doctors. He told them, he said, take sample, saliva sample from a man with the bubonic plague. They took it. He said, put it on a slide. They put it on the slide. Zoom the microscope on it. They zoom microscope on the slide. They saw the microbes running around. The microbes killing people in that plague, running around under the microscope. Now, he wiped the saliva on his palm. They said, you don't make contact with it. He said, no. The life of Christ is working in me. It will kill this disease. They didn't believe him. He said, get me another slide. They got him a slide. He wiped the saliva on the slide. He said, put the microscope on it. They put the microscope on it. All the microbes were dead. First John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you. Finish it for me. Stand on your feet, everybody. That was how John G. Lake began to pray for them. And they were living and not dying anymore until the bubonic plague had to run away. Because it is the light that shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Are you here this morning? You're not born again. You don't have life. But I want you to have life. I'm not asking if you have given your life to Christ. You don't have life outside Christ. But now you will have life. This is Ablaze week. Life must begin. In fact, Ablaze has started today. Amen? Look at the praise worship. Awesome. Special number. Awesome. Ablaze has started. Choir. Looking good. Glory be to God. Those kind of songs, praise worship songs, repeat next week. Sing Jesus. The entire atmosphere changed. It's not all those Nigerian songs that have no depth. Sing Jesus. Thank God for the Nigerian songs, the ones that are, some of them, very good, but a lot of them, entertainment. We are not here for entertainment. If you want entertainment, you can go to GQ or Sluggers or Vegas. Oh, bring up the name. I know them. I don't go there, but I know the places. But we are not here for entertainment. And we don't go there. Amen? I hope you didn't misquote me. Oh, Pastor Fred goes to club. No, he doesn't go to club. You won't find him dead there. We want Jesus. Jesus in the street. He's in the spirit.
Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family.
Jesus for my family.
I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus, Jesus.